are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. Thank you so much for joining me. I am Michael Storm, and it is, as always, my pleasure every week to come here and do this thing live from 1 to 3 p.m. worldwide across the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Truly a pleasure. I love to do this. I love to come here and talk and get some of these ideas and thoughts out of my head in a less personal way. It's one thing to have these conversations with people you know and people you're around on a daily basis and people that you can work with, that you have time to refine those conversations and make those important conversations really count because they're so close to you and the people are around you. But this is different. This is different. This is an experiment in perfecting as much as you can anything, that approach and those tools and that all of the things that are required to do what it is a lot of people in and around my circles claim they're trying to do. That's wake people up, bring them awareness about the corruption, the purposeful corruption of our political and economic system, the destruction of it, truly as it is, and not even the political system, I'm sorry, really the justice, our system of justice. The political system is a joke, and it always has been, and you can just poke holes in the entire idea across the board. But I tell you, I'm frustrated. There's obviously the other people have used this word before, and I like it. I think it's a fitting word, and plus I'm a huge fan of the Highlander. I named my son Connor, and it was absolutely after Connor McLeod, the Highlander, the original Highlander, not Duncan or any of these follow-ups. The quickening that we're experiencing right now, this acceleration of the pace of everything, of our understanding of the world of technology, of a great number of people's lessening understanding of the world, as some smaller portions of the world continue to get smarter and smarter, other portions, other people, and it's all over. It's not just this spot here, this spot there. It's all over. It's intermixed. You can't even really separate them anymore. The people get dumber and dumber, and willingly so. And it must be willingly so, because I've spent years practicing. I've spent a lot of time trying to do just this, just to figure out how to talk to people and find ways to reason with them and find ways to perfect that argumentation so that when we do have misunderstandings, we can come together, we can talk them through, we can work through the language and settle on ideas, or at least walk away understanding the other person's position on these things better. And so to watch this accelerate like this is, it gives me, it pushes me, it pulls me. This is the weird thing, and this is something that's been, it's been bugging me for a long time. It always has. And that's just sort of the futility of it all, because I spend a lot of time working at it. I spent a lot of time trying to refine the process of communicating with people complicated ideas, trying to break them down into less complicated ideas, more palpable ideas that people can, if you will, swallow. And I see the progress and the effort and the work. And anybody who's watched just my social media or who's listened to me talk over the years or the various iterations of shows that I've done, you would see that growth. You would know that growth too. You would catch it right away. You could go back to a show from just 3 years ago. And I'm not talking about the presentation any more than I am in the ability, the understanding of the things that I'm talking about, being able to click a little bit faster in my head and be able to spit them out with a little less thought about what it is I'm trying to say or how I'm going to present it. Just, you know, practice makes perfect. And so I've spent the time, I've put in the effort, I've made the effort, I've refined the message, I've worked on the words, I've been clear about what it is, what I mean when I say a particular thing. And so it still surprises me and it frustrates me. And this is a leftist thing. This is an anti-capitalist thing. This is a you have more than I do. I don't understand what it is you have. I'm jealous of what you have. I should have more of what you have, or nobody should have it. Nobody should be allowed to put together everything that you put together and have as much as you do in those things that are yours. And people want to, these same people, they want to argue. When you're talking about politics is bad on the left or the right, but I'm talking about anarchists, people that are supposed to be above and beyond left and right already, still choosing the same ideologies of the left and right that divide them. That I've watched it in the last few weeks over the abortion issue, and I've watched it constantly over the gun issue, and I've watched it, of course, over economics and in particular, the word capitalism. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of left anarchists. I am done with you. I am just so tired of trying to find a middle ground to be able to speak with you, and that includes Democrats and any socialist. That includes people on the right. I'm done talking to socialists. I'm done trying to make an effort to help you understand, even when you claim to be about individualism, when you claim to support things like property rights. But for God's sake, don't use the word property, and don't use the word rights either. For some reason, property and rights are things that are exclusive of the government and can only be protected by government and intervention and coercion and force. And I'm just done with it. I'm done showing why that's not true. In any sense of trying to really speak to you. I've always known that it was futile to speak to you in particular about that economics, because you don't get it. You don't understand it. You don't understand this. Here's something that is presented to me all the time. And I have been told for I don't know how long, all my life, that anarchism is anti-capitalist. And that doesn't make any sense to me. It can't, because all anarchy is no rulers. It just means that the individual doesn't want to be ruled, and you can extrapolate from that the idea that that individual doesn't want to rule over somebody else. And that's it. That's all there is to it. Everything else is up to personal choice or not personal choice. If you are being forced to do something that's not your personal choice, that is antithetical to anarchy. But if you are practicing a completely voluntary system of managing your wealth and exchange, it's called capitalism, that is not anti-anarchism. Anarchy is not anti-capitalist. You cannot call yourself a true anarchist if you would deny somebody else any voluntary experience, any voluntary experience, if you would, through your action, through your thoughts, make it impossible for or to make somebody else feel bad about their entirely voluntary actions that affect nobody else but themselves, you're not an anarchist. I have a drink over here that I need to get. I have no sympathy for you, and I'd love to watch you wallow in your ignorance and your argumentation about things that are so obvious and that are so clear. When I speak of capitalism, I'm very clear about it. I'm very clear about the voluntary individual management of our own wealth and capital. That's it. That's all I've ever claimed about capitalism. I've been clear about it for decades. Not years, not just in the course of this show, not since I really took up waving an anarchist banner as opposed to a wishy-washy libertarian middle-of-the-road banner. Oh, let the system go. Let it be its thing. I still believe that. I still do that. But I absolutely encourage people not to participate in it. Before, if you want to participate in it, fine. And I'm still generally of that mind, although I do believe that more and more every single day, that if you participate in that system voluntarily, that nobody else participates in voluntarily, at least less than half of the population, considerably less than half of the population, depending on which election we're voting in and talking about, the rest of us aren't interested in it, don't want it, and so your participation in it forces the results of it on the rest of us. That's certainly not anarchy, and I don't believe it's libertarianism either. I don't believe it's conservatism. Yet, if there's a whole bunch of people right now listening across this network, live across this network, this wonderful place of free speech and these free ideas where they let me come and talk about these things, I see you doing it in personal issues and issues that here's a little thought for you. This is kind of sick and disgusting, but why are you trying to stop scumbags from having abortions? Why do you want people that would breed and allow their offspring to live, to grow up, to be the scumbags that disrespect life and disrespect the individual and private property and the things that they do that we see come across from so many? If the presence of the male is so toxic in the relationship, how come there are so many broken homes and broken families and broken children without fathers? It seems to me that there's some toxicity that develops there in the absence of the father, and all of these things. I'm sorry, conservatives, and I'm sorry, socialists, progressives, whatever you're calling yourselves these days. I don't really mean for you to slaughter your offspring or to end your DNA, but this is kind of a battle here, and it's a battle against socialism and freedom. That's it. That's all there is to it. And everything else in between those two points is some level of socialism, some percentage of some person or persons claiming that what the rest of us do, they are entitled to. And I'm done talking to you people because you just don't get it. I get to be an anarchist. Just like that guy over there, this is great for the 4th of July, that guy over there gets to be a killer for hire, and he gets to wear a uniform and a costume and parade his flag and his patriotism around. That's his choice. He gets to do that. I get to say nothing about that choice in the sense of it being his. Where it stops being what he's doing, this includes the voters too, and crosses over into invading, encroaching upon the lives of other people, up to and including caging and murdering them over your stupid political and social opinions, I have a problem with that. And as a free person, regardless of whether you believe I'm free because of democracy or the Republic or America or the Declaration of Independence or some other silly notion other than the fact that I was born and I'm alive and I get to be me and I get to do and say what I want to, especially when it doesn't affect other people, I can't anymore. And that's that push and that pull that I'm experiencing, that it drives me to come here every week to say my piece and to enjoy the conversations that I have and to hear about the fantastic ideas and people that are doing those things, which I'll tell you about what's happening on the show today here in just a second. But that's why I do that. And to work out these other conversations, that these more important personal conversations that I have in my daily life, and to continue to hone these skills to be able to plant the seeds. If you think I'm talking to you, you're wrong. I don't know you. So if you're offended by what I've said, that's on you. Maybe you need to look at what it is you're doing, what it is you're saying, what it is you're claiming to be in your life that makes me say that. It should really be that simple. If you were offended by anything I just said, living voluntarily, not encroaching upon other people's lives and robbing them and caging and murdering them over your political and social opinions, and that includes the way they manage their money and their wealth and their health and their own property. I know that's a bad word, poor property. Your personal belongings. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you with language that's been clearly used for, okay, we'll just say a couple of days. Certainly by me. If we can't agree on the language, if the conversation that you want to have is semantic, then we're not having a very good conversation. That's why I get to come here and I get to say, all right, here you go. Here's the words. Here's what I'm saying. Here's what I mean by them. There's no question about it. You don't get to twist the words that I'm saying. You can try to take them out of context, but taken in their entirety, you cannot deny what I've said and you cannot misrepresent what I've said or who I'm saying it to. And that's why we win. That's why the individuals win. That's why capitalism wins. That's why it continues to succeed in the face of massive socialism, even from people who claim they're not socialists. They want to use other words. They want to use, I hate to pick on the agorists, but they are, the agorists are where the left anarchists have run to, the leftarchists. That's where they've run to, because mainstream anarchy is the nap. It is good economic thought. It is capitalism. It is the reality that nobody, not just government and people who claim authority, but this includes you too. You don't get to say anything fundamentally about what it is that I do with my money, unless I'm getting my money from you. Then you can say something about it. Then I give a damn about your opinion about capitalism. Then capitalism gives a damn about you. The market, the free market, all these things that you believe function, those ones, the euphemisms that you use to talk about free people exercising their wealth in the way they see fit, there's already a word for it. It's called capitalism. Stop playing word games with me. Start paying attention to what's being said and the actions that are being taken towards individual liberty and away from the state. No more word games. When we come back, I'll tell you who's on the show. Fantastic show today. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
President Biden's approval rating is lower than Nixon's on the day that he left office in disgrace. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Only 8% in a recent survey think that the Ukrainian war should be Biden's number one priority, while 38% said that fighting inflation should be number one. Spending $5 billion a month on a foreign war raises inflation even more. Making it even worse, Biden stated that the U.S. will be involved in Ukraine as long as it takes. 35% of small business owners couldn't pay their rent in full last month, and most blame the record-breaking inflation. You know, the inflation that the White House called transitory. Food costs are up over 10%, energy costs have jumped 35%, housing costs are surging with no end in sight. Hey Joe, can you at least pretend to worry about our problems here at home? Support transparency from Congress by visiting liberty-lighthouse.com/HR46.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love.
Yeah. I need you to support the network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the support button. That's the easiest way to do it. You simply a couple of clicks and you can make a PayPal donation. It's a fantastic little system. Just click, click, click. There you go. It's done. It helps support all of the voices across the network. But also, if you do that, if you go to republicbroadcasting.org, and if you look around right up at the top of the website, top of the building, top of the page, is the RBN store, and inside the store are tons of deals on different products, totally win-win situations. Things like the Blackout Coffee Company deal that's going on right now, the Repub 10, REPUB10, coupon code that gets you some great deals, including free shipping on your purchase of some of the fantastic coffee from Blackout Coffee. And if for some reason, there's always a phone number. Excuse me, that's the thing, is there's always a phone number in all of these things. If you want to support the network, or if you want to support these services and products and people who put their items in the store. And there's always somebody that you can call and talk to. That's one of the things that I love about really being able to conduct any business through RBN in that sense, you know, with RBN or with any of the advertisers. There's always a real person to talk to. These are small businesses and real hardworking Americans and others. It's just an amazing thing that RBN has been able to put together over the years, and we want to continue that, and we do it by you supporting the network. And if you like this show, or if you don't like this show but you like other shows on the network, you know, support those shows. It supports the network. It keeps all of these voices for liberty on the air. Even if you don't agree 100% with the ideas, we have to agree on some core values, or we wouldn't be here at all, even attempting to have this conversation. So do that. Support the network. Go to towardanarchy.com as well, and you can follow along as always. If you're with me live, it's July 10th. Otherwise, just dig in there through the episodes and find it. We're talking about anarchist love and sovereignty today. You remember Danny Panzella, him and his wife, Vanessa Velez, are going to join me here, and we are going to chat about healing and growing through psychedelic relationships, as well as other tools that they've used personally in their own relationship to heal and grow, to survive, to recover from a toxic, failing relationship. That really just, if you know toxic relationships, you know, and this is important. You need to hear this. Maybe you haven't found the right tools. There's a bunch of tools and things that they've used and recommend for others to use, and they've become hugely popular, having a bi-weekly conversation about these things, and they've attracted a lot of attention, been on the news and in Harper's, and just talking about this idea of how to reverse this toxicity, and it's everything from physical and mental and psychedelic, which, you know, hey, let's trip out and love each other, man. No, it's not exactly that sort of thing, but it's certainly fun to say, because I'm sure we'll talk about microdosing and some things like that, and which I have no understanding of microdosing. I don't do anything in micro, including dosing. Never did. So we will add them to the conversation here just after the next break that's coming up in just a minute. And I have a couple of articles and things that I wanted to share with you to make sure that you check out. So please go to towardanarchy.com, look for July 10th, and check out the article from Michael McGroots. You remember him. He's the former Newport Beach, California arts commissioner. Had him on the show. We talked about the things that we always talk about around here. That link to that episode is up there. But he had an article to share with me about the perception of value, because it's been a part of the conversation here quite a bit lately on the show. And he's seen and listened and watched the posts and follows along and had some things to say about it, and thought that this piece here would fit right along with it. So I made sure to share it with you, because it relates to those conversations, but in particular that equivocation that happens between value and price. And Stephen Kinsella and I were talking about that last week. We just barely touched on it, but that's the idea that people confuse value and price, and there's it's unfortunate, especially when we're talking about human capital, and that's what that article is about. So be sure to check that out. There's also another one, 5 surprising facts for the 4th of July that weren't particularly surprising and wasn't really great journalism. We'll add Danny and Vanessa to the conversation about psychedelic relationships next.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the Rotating Sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black.
I see the girls walk by dressed in their summer clothes. Turn my head until my darkness goes.
WardAnarchy.com to follow along. Look for July 10th. You'll see that Danny and Vanessa are my guests. We'll add them to the conversation here in just a second. They're on the line, ready to talk. We're going to talk about healing and growing through psychedelic relationships, their own personal experience with it, and the success that they're having, sharing that with other people, the tools and resources that they use and recommend to others. To help heal themselves as individuals and as a relationship, as a couple, as a team, trying to work their way through life. And of course, as always, I share some links for you, including sovereignlove.nyc. That's where you can find out more about Danny and Vanessa, and you can tune into their biweekly podcast where they discuss these different methods and tools that they're recommending for people to sort of find that balance and achieve that spiritual sovereignty in themselves and in their relationships. It's sovereignlove.nyc. And then for more specific information on the topic of psychedelic relationships and sort of using plant medicine therapies and alternative states of mind, You can visit psychedelicrelationships.com. Both of those links are there at towardanarchy.com. And if you remember, Danny is a friend of mine for a number of years now, and not just a digital friend. We've actually sat and talked and had a beer and partaken, I don't know, in each other's presence. And learned a little bit from each other and grew with each other over a weekend. And great guy, nice person, the kind of person you like to meet in your life. But just like all of us, flawed and has troubles in relationships and troubles in life, and is looking for, has found ways of curing those troubles, or at least working towards keeping the individual whole in themselves and in their relationships while they work through these things that are unavoidable in many ways. You work to change the things you can with yourself and in your relationships, even though you can't change many of those externalities and the things that happen to us. You learn how to deal with them in that. And of course, he's married to Vanessa, and they are sovereign. They are anarchists, some people are afraid of that word, but I don't think they are. And they've been through a toxic and failing relationship and come out the other side of it. And so I had planned to just have a call-in show, and we were going to chat, you and I, this week about whatever was on your mind. I wanted to talk about the Anarchist, this new show that's coming up on HBO. I thought I'd be able to watch it before the show today and be able to have some comments on it, but it doesn't air because it's a documentary. It's not one of these movie releases where they've released movies direct to or after it's aired in the theaters, and it'll come out on HBO Max. In this case, we're talking about an HBO show. And it'll just release at midnight. By the time it's midnight in California, you can watch it everywhere else in the States on that platform. And I expected that to happen today and to be able to just tune into it this morning and catch it and watch it before the show. But it doesn't air until 10 o'clock tonight. It's a scheduled show. How special is that? And HBO is not making it easy to find. If you go to the Anarchist page, if you search out the Anarchists HBO and you click that initial page to HBO, you get a 404 error. It's gone. If you search for it on HBO Max, you have to almost type entirely the word Anarchist in there before it presents it. And it's only a trailer. There's no information. You can't follow it. It's like they're purposely trying to make it real hard for people to see this. So it gives me hope about what it might be. But at some point I'll have some thoughts on it. And we'll have that conversation. But then Danny reached out to me and he said, "Hey, man, you want to have a conversation about this thing that we're into?" And I've been watching them do this, him and Vanessa, go through this process here for a little while now. I can't put a date and time. I can't put a date and time on anything right now, especially after the last 2 years. But I've been watching them for a while go through this. And, of course, their show it bumps up against mine a little bit when they air it each week. So there's a little bit of competition in there. Danny, Vanessa, thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out and wanting to talk with me about this. I think this is a fantastic conversation. I personally have a terrific and wonderful relationship. We have our ups and downs, but we are a team and always have been. And I happen to liken that to the psychedelic relationship. So thank you guys both.
All right. Hey, Mike, thanks for having us. It's always a pleasure to be on your show. I think the last time I was on was maybe last summer. So it's great to be back, and that was a great intro. You know, I want to make just a quick comment about the Anarchists. I don't want to derail our conversation, but it's so funny because I was just looking on HBO a little while ago, and it's exactly as you said. It was very difficult for me to find the page. There's no information about the episodes. It's just the trailer. So I watched the trailer, and honestly, it looks like an elaborate hit piece to me. Yeah. First of all, they picked Jeff Berwick, who was one of the most, he's like a con man, to represent anarchy. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not very optimistic about what this show's going to how it's going to portray Anarchy.
I'm trying to be optimistic, and I'm trying to read between the lines on what little information there is. There's just that trailer, and that trailer, you get these great, wonderful anarchist ideas interspersed in with statist ideas and shots of Jeff Berwick on a yacht. So I'm skeptical.
Yeah, it looks like they're trying to make it look real bougie and violent too, because of the whole thing with John being murdered down there. Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Let's talk about psychedelics.
First, let me say hi to Vanessa, because Vanessa and I have never met. So I just want to say hi and thank you and hi.
Thank you so much for having us on. I'm super excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, you sound really, really far away there, unfortunately. I'm not okay.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Do that.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, I can guys. Do that.
Hey. Cool. Okay, so yes. Hi.
So while she's doing that, maybe I could do some introducing.
Yeah, please do.
For your audience. So Vanessa and I had been in a relationship for about 10 years. And the first several years of our relationship were really rough. As a matter of fact, Mike, when we met for the first time when I was in Colorado, we were shooting, you were helping me shoot my documentary on cannabis and cancer. That was really right in the middle of our most toxic time. And we had, you know, we'd both been married before, and so we brought in a lot of bad habits and patterns and baggage from our previous relationship into this one. Not only that, we had no idea how much childhood trauma we had going on, which made relating to each other and being able to be vulnerable with each other really difficult. So here we were, two traumatized people with ex-wife and ex-husband, and and then to throw in my son, who is from my previous marriage. So now we're starting our relationship where I have a child from my previous relationship, which further complicated everything. So we really experienced a lot of, I don't want to overuse the word toxic, but I can't think of a better word. There was constant disconnection and fighting, infidelity on my part, alcoholism. We were both functional alcoholics. I was also dealing with sex addiction, which I didn't even realize, narcissism and codependency, and there was even a suicide attempt in there. So there was a lot of really dark stuff happening in our relationship. And we got to the point where I spent a night in jail, and we got to the point where we're like, either we're gonna have to figure something out. We're going to have to heal, or we're going to have to go our separate ways. And at that time, somebody from the Liberty community, Carla Mora, some of the listeners may know her from the New Hampshire Free State Project, she recommended that we try psychedelics. And this just opened up our world completely and changed everything.
Okay.
Dave, you want to weigh in on that?
No, that's a great background, and now I have a better understanding of that particular dynamic, because I would not understand people who grew together in a relationship and had a child and had spent years together. But I get it, because you guys were previously married and said, okay, yeah, that makes much more sense to me now, because my own personal experience in relationship has been the long term. My wife and I have been together for 25 years. We have three kids together. There's, you know, we've always been on the same team. And like I said, I absolutely do. Credit that to certainly mild psychedelics, cannabis for certain, but also others as well, because we did them together and we experienced a different view of the world in our personal relationship together than I think a lot of people do. Certainly if they're not doing those things together. I have a perfect example of a best friend of many, many years, longer than my wife, and his wife, also, who I've also known almost as long as my best friend, and he's a smoker, she's not. And it's been a point of contention throughout the entirety of their relationship. They never came to a point, and they still function within a toxic relationship. And it's unfortunate, because I think that psychedelic relationship brings the people in the relationship together.
Well, I think even people that wouldn't consider themselves being in a toxic relationship, every relationship has areas it can improve in, and where you can deepen your intimacy with each other. And that's mm-hmm. really what we started to experience yeah. through the use of psychedelics. For me, as someone who was very narcissistic, and not only that, also very traumatized, I had a rough relationship with my mother, and it made it hard for me to relate to women in a vulnerable way where I could build intimacy. And that's really one of the reasons why my first marriage failed. I mean, we both had our own issues. But MDMA was something that, one of the first psychedelics that we worked with, aside from cannabis, that really taught me how to be able to empathize with my partner, with Vanessa. It was very difficult when you're in a very egoic place, and me especially, Mike, you know that I have a very strong personality. And so my ego tends to be tries to be very domineering, or in the past I had allowed my ego to be domineering. And that's one of the things MDMA taught me, was to be able to put myself in Vanessa's shoes and to be able to feel what feelings she was having. And so instead of always being very masculine-brained and logical, and when she would come to me with an issue or, you know, upset something, and she's telling me her feelings and I'm upset, and I would just be like, well, here's the problem. If you fix this, this, and that, you won't feel that way anymore, and then you won't feel sad anymore, right? I was very logical-brained. I wanted to look at a problem from that perspective and solve it.
Sure. But
in relationship, what really brings you together, what is the glue of the relationship, are your emotions. So, and it's not just love. It's being able to hold space for your partner when they're sad, right? To be a support system, to be the wind beneath their wings, to quote the old Bette song, right? Mm. That requires a degree of vulnerability. And I really believe that that is what intimacy is really based on. The more vulnerable, the more transparent, the more honest and just vulnerable you can be with your partner, the deeper that connection goes. So now when she's having an issue, she can come to me and she can talk about her feelings, and I'm no longer trying to solve the problem. I mean, right. We may get there, but first I can sit with her and say, oh baby, I know what it's like to feel depressed or to feel frustrated about something like that. I'm sorry, let me hold you. What can I do to make you feel better? And I kind of have this, like, it's that old saying, it maybe sounds like a little bit of a cliche, but it's true that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. And I think mm-hmm. that kind of explains how vulnerability and intimacy can then lead to problem solving. Once I've been able to comfort Vanessa and make her feel loved and make her feel safe, then she'll be more open to hearing the logical kind of answers to whatever challenge, you know, she's facing or we're facing together as a couple, right? The empathy builds a bridge. Now there's connection and true communication can happen. So we can actually communicate instead of just our egos butting heads with each other. I have this solution. Just take the solution and do it, and then you'll feel better, and then you'll stop crying to me all the time, right? That doesn't build connection. That builds more walls. Vanessa would not feel safe to come to me as her partner for support, right? And so that's something that MDMA specifically really taught me that lesson. Baby, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I was going to say that something that one of our friends, Charlie Wininger, the author of Listening to Ecstasy, talks about is he talks about using MDMA for the betterment of well relationships. So the idea of even healthy relationships can benefit from the increased intimacy when you work with these types of substances that allow you to be more vulnerable. And yes, there's the empathy for me, but there's also the allowance, I think as a society, we don't allow men to express emotions as well. And so with the help of MDMA, it allowed Danny to also process his emotions in a way where he doesn't have to be just this strong guy that has all of the answers, but rather he can also be vulnerable and say, hey, these are the places where I feel frustrated, or where I feel angry, or where I feel overwhelmed, or where I feel insecure. And together we can work on these issues. And find solutions and become closer.
Right, because the strongest of relationships is susceptible to that same failing, because we, especially the male, I don't even mean to say especially the males, but it's certainly a male trait, that we want to fix things. We got to fix it. We can't just, the crying woman there's something wrong, and we can tell them what it is that we see wrong and fix it. It'll be fixed, and then you'll be all better, just like Danny was saying there. And it's funny, because this is a conversation that we've had here on the show quite a bit lately. One of my regular guests, Dr. Dean Lloyd, recently going through a similar experience with his mate, and finding that what their problem is. And these are smart people like ourselves and know themselves and understand themselves on a certain level, and still find themselves falling into that same trap of not just listening, not just being there for the person, but trying to solve that problem.
Yeah, and obviously that comes from a place of caring for the person, loving the person, and not wanting them to suffer or to to be in a state of frustration. We want our partners to be happy. And, we all carry some sort of childhood, trauma. And recently I was hearing somebody express that trauma is also like a spectrum, right? There's trauma with a capital T, with like the major traumatic events. And we all experience childhood events where, we misinterpret something that our parents said, or our parents say something that causes us to have a limiting belief. And so all of these childhood events come to, they come to light in our relationships. Our relationships, our romantic relationships, are the most intimate relationships that we have. And so in order to get to that deep level of intimacy, we have to show ourselves. And in order to show ourselves, we have to know ourselves. And in order to know ourselves, we have to tap into those deep core wounds that, we've suppressed for such a long time. So sometimes a small criticism can feel like a heavy judgment if we had a parent that was a judgmental parent, or a heavy criticism can, a light criticism can sound as like, oh, you're telling me I'm not good enough because my parent was hard on me, right? And so all of these things come up in the relationship. And if we don't know how to tackle them, we, like Danny said earlier, we're just bumping heads, and our egos are throwing temper tantrums left and right, and we're not going anywhere. We're just building up more walls and more walls. And, we've gotten to a point in our relationship where we are grateful for all of the trauma that we got to experience early on, because that helped us really develop a deeper sense of intimacy with each other, where we know about our core wounds, and we uncover more core wounds the more we do the work. But that leads to us having a deeper relationship and a deeper understanding of who we are as people, as individuals.
Yeah, you tackle those things that are a problem. And they can be, it's amazing how they can build up from those small, those little T traumas like that, and really reflect across it. That's such a truism that something that I might find to be not particularly offensive or even a particularly powerful statement, how heavy it can lay on somebody else by their understanding of the language, by the tone of my voice, by just my the way I carry my body. This is something that in relationships, personal close relationships, that we take for granted, that we do to other people all the time that aren't in our personal relationship circle, that we don't have to necessarily give that same level of attention and respect to, and then you behave that way with somebody that you do and that you have that intimate relationship with and that you want to keep that intimate relationship with, and you affect it just simply by rolling your eyes or giving that snort, that little bit of derision to truly valid points and opinions of your partner.
Absolutely. For me, I mentioned my relationship with my mother, this played a really big role in that. I had some things that you probably wouldn't describe as traumas, but my mother and my father got divorced when I was 13. And this is like commonplace now, but back in the 80s, you know, it was a little bit, or the early 90s, it was a little bit more taboo than it is today. And during this time that my parents were getting divorced, my mother was going out a lot with her friends. And she took a second job at night, and then she was going to the gym a lot. And so for me, as a 12-year-old, I was like, oh, she just doesn't want to be home with us. She's annoyed that she has kids. She doesn't want to be with us anymore. She must not really love us. Now, as a parent, I can understand, but it took me actually, the mushrooms really helped me understand this. But it took me till I was in my mid-40s to be able to understand that she was going through a divorce. She just needed a break. She needed some self-care time, going to the gym, and, you know, yeah, being with her friends probably to confide in about what was going on with my dad and trying to work through the traumatic event that divorce can be for people. So now I can recognize that, but my whole life up until the last couple of years, I lived with this belief that, and one time I caught during this time, I overheard my grandmother call my mother a selfish bitch. And I just was like, yeah, she is. She leaves us home alone all the time. She's always going out with her friends. Yeah, she's a selfish bitch. So now the rest of my life, or the rest of her life, because she passed away early at age 55, the rest of my life, everything, every interaction I had with my mother came through the filter of she's a selfish bitch.
Ouch.
So we had a terrible relationship. And my poor mother, like, I gave her such a hard time. And now I really understand. And I have a lot of, you know, I can forgive her for that, because obviously it wasn't really that's what she was doing. But
no,
mushrooms really helped me.
Unfortunately, it's actually a major failing of relationships. And unfortunately, there's already a failure there in the couple. But the mother often continues, because they often end up with the children, to fail in relationships with other men, seeking that instead of perhaps, and other relationships instead of taking care of their family. It's a very typical thing. And so I understand why you say that, not super trauma necessarily, but definitely a lifelong buildup. Hey, we got to go into a break, and we'll come right back with Danny and Vanessa. We're talking about psychedelic relationships.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.